Sunday, July 17th. It was a late night Saturday night, hearing Linda's adventures, and so we slept until 9:30 Sunday morning, a very rare thing for Lyndon. And then we went to St. Mark's, all four of us, Lucy happily chirruping her assent, though it means two church services for her. The day was important to me for three reasons. All four of us, side by side, in old St. Mark's, which is still being done over, and so we sat in chairs. Second, because Bill Baxter asked God's blessings on thy servants, Lucy and Pat, and they are approaching marriage. And third, because Bill Baxter is leaving the end of this month, and St. Mark's will no more be the same to me. He just returned from Latin America, his first tour with the Peace Corps to which he's going. In his real evangelical fashion, he was carried away and preached until 12:20. So we were late getting home to see our usual round of Sunday TV shows. Admiral Rayburn, brisk, smiling, tough, winning every round, I thought. And Cy Vance, cautious and deliberate in his impossible job of answering reporters who, it seemed, were determined to show up this country in the worst light possible in every situation. Sometime you get an uneasy feeling of wondering whose side they're on. Once more, there were just the four of us at the table, and I cherished the time. After lunch, Lyndon put on his pajamas and crawled into bed. Sundays are his days to make up for the whole week. But he asked us to come in and talk with him, and Linda and Lucy, sitting on the bed and I in the rocking chair, were soon in one of the longest, best family discussions, the sort that's a cathartic and a salve at the same time for all the problems that beset the four of us, and maybe a solution. We talked about Lucy's honeymoon, how she would get there, about Pat's job, and about their courses at the university. We talked about a possible job for Linda. Like George Bundy had told her, there might be something in the Ford Foundation, research and travel. Arthur Goldberg had mentioned a place with the United Nations. She's interested in the American Heritage magazine. Someone has suggested a job there for her. And then National Geographic, an official in it, had talked to Bill Moyers about her going to work for them. It was a rare and happy time, productive for us all. Then when Lyndon turned over to go to sleep, I went bowling. Played three games, got a high score of 136 and a low too bad to mention, and came back over with Linda to watch her unpack all of her treasures, the books, the old prints that she had bought, the gifts, including a white mantilla about 8 feet long that make a good wedding veil. Books are a lodestone to her. And then when Lyndon woke up, he said, let's go out and see Courtney. So the four of us drove out. Courtney out on the sidewalk saw Lyndon coming, and nobody in Jack's galaxy of stars could possibly express more delight and excitement than she did. No wonder he finds her one of the chief joys of his hard days. We had a pleasant hour or so, but the Valentis had her dinner engagement, so Lucy volunteered to babysit with Courtney. We took her back home to the White House for dinner with us, along with the Reardons, who'd come in to join the Valentis. It was a mild, soft, early evening, the sort that's an antidote for the struggles of the weekdays for Lyndon. And for me, it was especially dear because we were all four together. And those days, in this way, are growing numbered. Today, the full-page story about weddings was President Cleveland and Frances Folsom. And the story of Lucy's bridesmaids in pink, including a sketch, was the installment for all the wedding watchers. And a negative short story about Linda Bird's return eludes press at airport, it said. It's an old story by now, and I should know it well. There's a sort of conspiracy by the press, by one's friends, by the public. For years, they pitted Lyndon against the speaker, but that never worked. And now, increasingly, as John Connolly is reaching a summit of prominence, they're trying to stir up a fight between him and Lyndon. Sometimes it's abrasive, but I believe it will never produce anything between those two. And now, in a way, it's daughter against daughter. Lucy has certain qualifications that make her wonderful with the press, and Linda other characteristics that give her a bad time with them. The moral is, we must be careful. No rifts within our inner forces. And I believe we're too strong and too close for it. But if you stand off a little from the scene, you can see it.